Let's ask for God's help as we come to 1 Kings 18. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are the one who can open blind eyes. And sometimes, Father, our eyes are not completely blind, but they are a bit dull. And we pray that you would clear that dullness and help us to see with clarity this evening what you have said in your word. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, if you were to do a word association and you had to put one word with Elijah, what would you put with him? If it was Abraham, you might think faith. If it was Peter, you might think of various things, not all of them complimentary, but you kind of get a feel for who Peter is. If you were thinking of John, you might say, well, I think love. What about Elijah? What's the thing that comes into your mind first? And maybe it's this Mount Carmel scene where he's taking on the prophets of Baal and through that Jezebel. Well, when James, in James chapter 5, refers to Elijah, his mind goes to a particular incident. And the word I would associate with Elijah this evening's prayer. When Elijah is mentioned in James, this is what James says. Now, I don't know how it worked when they were being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write scripture. I think that they weren't robots, that their minds were being used. And so as James is penning, he's writing and then he thinks of Elijah. It's the go-to thought. And so he says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then he says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. What else does he say? Well, he goes on, he says, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. He prayed again. What passage of the Bible is he talking about? Well, it's the one at the end of 1 Kings 18. That we talked about, where Elijah prays again and God gives the rain. So if you turn to 1 Kings 18 and verse 41, we're going to look at these few verses and try and see what Elijah's experience can teach us about prayer. Now, I want to kind of go a bit further back then, verse 41, to try and fill in some of the context. So he says in verse 41, go up, eat and drink, talking to Ahab. There's the sound of abundance of rain. So if you want another word to associate with Elijah, it would be rain. Actually, rain has been in the whole story. Back when Elijah is introduced in chapter 17, you can see there in 17 verse 1, Elijah suddenly appears on the scene. And what does Elijah say? Well, he says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. And then we have the next bit of the Elijah story. He's there by the brook and he's there being fed miraculously by these ravens drinking from the brook. But then we read the brook dries up because there's no rain in the land. That's verse 7. And so he goes to the widow of Zarephath. And you can read that story in your own time. But again, there's a promise given to the widow that the bin of flour shall not be used up, the jar of oil not run dry, until the day that the Lord sends the rain on the earth. And so on into chapter 18. Ahab and Obadiah are looking for a way to keep the livestock alive. And it's because of this, presumably because of this situation of the no rain means a loss of vegetation and so on. And so here we come to verse 41. And there's been a lot of wickedness in the land. And finally, God has acted in power in a public way. He's shown, I'm the Lord, not Baal. I'm the one who gives and withholds rain, not Baal. I'm the one on whom you depend for everything, not Baal. God has shown that he is the Lord. And so finally, we have a wonderful moment when God has publicly revealed himself, and Elijah then says to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. What does all this have to do with prayer? Well, I want to look at what Elijah does here. Given that context, look what it says. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, verse 42. And then what does it say? Elijah went to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And so you think about what's happened. If there is ever a moment when a man would be tempted, we would think, to think, I'm doing all right. I've really had a moment of where people have seen that actually, yes, I'm quite the guy. You think it would be Elijah at that moment. He's standing alone against the prophets of Baal, and he has prayed, and fire has come from heaven. And you would think, well, you could sort of understand him having a bit of a pride trip at this moment. But what do we find? We find that Elijah goes up to the top of Carmel, and he's not waltzing around. He's got his head between his knees. What's happened in Israel is that God has stepped in power. And so what's the first point about prayer? The first thing I've got three P's this evening about prayer. The first one is our attitude in prayer. And what is it? It is prostration. It's the first word. Prostration. Not necessarily physically prostrated, physically on your knees, although you can pray in that position. You can pray going for a walk. You can pray lying on your bed. But the point is, there is something in our hearts that is this has got to be there as a starting point as we pray. Because we recognize, if we've understood Mount Carmel, actually, this wasn't Elijah's scene. This wasn't a place where God was saying, look how amazing Elijah is. It was a place where God shut up every other door and made it clear to his enemies and to his people, I alone am the Lord. I alone am the provider. I alone am king. When God blesses us, and he does it all the time. When God blesses us and we're conscious that God is using us, what should be our first response? It should be the very opposite of pride. It should be humility. Because you and I are sinners. You and I are no better than Jezebel by nature. We have that same sinful flesh. And yet the Lord has opened our eyes. He has shown us the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see with clarity, not because we are clever, but because God is merciful. And so when we see that the Lord is blessing and working, and then we come to bring more requests to him, what's the first thing that we do? We go down. We prostrate ourselves. We say, Lord, but for your mercy, where would we be? There was a man called F.B. Meyer. He happened to be the first pastor of the church where I'm at. He was a good man, and he wrote a little book on Elijah, and he said, the men who stand straightest in the presence of sin bow lowest in the presence of God. That's quite good, I think. And that's Elijah. He's standing, he's actually got a backbone, and he's standing against sin, and yet he's bowing before God. So what is prostration? It's not primarily, it's not first of all about the position you use when you pray. It is about your heart when you come into the presence of God. There's a wonderful balance in the Bible that we come to a throne of grace, but it is a throne of grace. We come to our Father, who is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of all things. And so that we come in the fear of the Lord. And in the fear of the Lord, there's that wonderful combination of real boldness and real humility. So that's the first thing that Elijah, I think, shows us about prayer, is that we come like he did. Whatever God has done in the past, we come on one basis. I come through the Lord Jesus. I don't have any past successes or past performance in the Christian life to plead. Or, well, we've been doing quite well here for a while, so the Lord's really pleased with us. No, the Lord Jesus. I come through the Lord Jesus. And we come humbly. What's the second thing about prayer? Well, look what Elijah says to Ahab, verse 41. Here we have the content of prayer. Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, was he telling the truth? Was there the sound of abundance of rain at that point? Well, technically, no. I don't think he's lying, though. We sometimes speak as Christians of the eyes of faith. And so we think of maybe Hebrews 11 and verse 27. It says of Moses, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Why? For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So we speak of the eyes of faith. And in Elijah here we see the ears of faith. We have not yet heard this thing, but we have, actually, by faith. You and I, if we're Christians, we're waiting for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. I've not yet heard the trumpet. I've not heard the shout from heaven, but I have. And if you're a believer, you have as well. You've heard it by faith. Because of what? Because God has promised it in his word. So what's the second thing about prayer? The content of prayer is promises. The attitude is prostration, but the content is promises. Why can Elijah say to Ahab with this boldness, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain? Why can he do that? We'll go back to verse 1 of the chapter. What does Elijah say? It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah's not just plucking something out of the air, like some amazing thing, and then he's, I'm going to think up some hard scenario, and I'm going to ask the Lord to do it. No, this is quite a thing to say to Ahab, but he has a promise from God. And so he says to Ahab, there's the sound of rain. And then he goes up and he puts his face between his knees. And then he says to his servant, well, go, look at the sea. Mount Carmel, near the sea there on the coast. And he says, there's nothing. But seven times, what does he say? What does Elijah say? Go again. Elijah has a promise from the Lord. And that is basic to how you and I should pray as believers. We read the passage earlier on in Luke's Gospel. And it's the passage where Jesus says, knock, seek, ask, and you will receive. It will be opened. It will be answered. I want to go to the kind of the parallel one in Matthew 7. And there's one extra thing it says there. It says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And then it says this, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now then, you've probably prayed about many things in your life. Sometimes you've prayed about things many times. And sometimes, if we went through our prayer lives, we're praying about lots of legitimate things. And yet, if God were to answer all those things we're praying about, who would be benefiting most? Would it be that our life is getting sorted out? And so it looks like I want it to look without this problem or that problem or this grief or that hardship. Or if God answered all my prayers, would it look more, would the emphasis of my prayer life be other people are benefiting here, there and there? Does your prayer life look like a kind of, you know, the expression feathering your own nest, right? Is that the bent of your prayer life? If that's the case, you may be a little bit disillusioned. You may be thinking, well, I'm just praying. But Are you praying on the basis of God's promises? You see, when God says, seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. Ask, it will be given to you. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. He really will. And then he says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. Straight after, he talks about prayer. So, and then we go through these, the things that God is, we see in his word, God's promised he's going to do this or that. God's indicated he's going to work in this way. I can pray about that with confidence. It's in his word. And we see that, yes, although we should bring all our own needs to the Lord, and yes, do that. Continually bring everything that burdens you to the Lord. Never stop doing that. Pray about the smallest thing in your life. Absolutely. And yet, our prayer life is, your kingdom come, your will be done. Oh Lord, here is your people. Here's my brother and here's my sister. Here is this situation. Lord, work here. Here is this people group who don't have the gospel. Lord, work. Here are these missionaries who are struggling. Lord, work. And you see, we're not stopping to pray about all the little things, but we are being transformed to see a bigger vision. God has promised these things. God's glory is at stake in these things. I will pray about these things. And so Elijah there, he's on Mount Carmel. He's not praying, oh Lord, keep me safe now from Jezebel. You could understand it, couldn't you? But Lord, you've got to send the rain now. Your glory is involved in this. After all that's happened, now you must send the rain. And you have promised to send the rain. Lord, send the rain. There's nothing. Go again. There's nothing. Or go again. The Lord's going to send the rain. Do you see the difference? What is the content of our prayer life? The content of prayer, it is promises. One more thing. Look at verse 43. This is the third thing from the passage. And we've sort of touched on this already. He said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. What's the character of prayer? It's persistence. So yes, we come with that prostration, that humility, and we plead God's promises. But the third thing, and this is crucial, is persistence. So, if you're a Christian for any length of time, you've prayed. And you've prayed about many things. How many prayer meetings have you been in? Probably quite a few. And how many messages on prayer have you heard in your life? Probably quite a few over the years. And sometimes you can hear a message on prayer and you can be quite encouraged. Right, I'm going to pray. And there's a kind of initial burst of enthusiasm, maybe, and then before you know it, you're back in the same place. You didn't feel any sort of great glow of faith as you were there in your room, or however it is that you pray. And nothing changed. Actually, it seemed to get worse. You prayed about a situation, you prayed for people, and instead of it seeming that God was answering your prayer, it actually got worse, apparently. The situation was not getting better. These people were still in difficulties. You were still in grief and hurting, and you're pleading with God and nothing's happening. And so what's the temptation? Well, I'll stop praying. I will give up. Maybe you get a bit cynical about messages on prayer. Well, I have prayed, but God's not done anything. In fact, you might feel, no, I've not just prayed, I've screamed. I've called on the Lord. I've done what it said in the Psalms, but there's no change. And really? You see, God calls us not primarily to feel great faith as we pray, but to demonstrate faith by praying. The act of praying is an act of faith. You may go away from here this evening And maybe tomorrow or during the week or during the next month, and every day you pray and you leave that time of prayer and you don't see anything happen. You don't feel any great glow. And you're tempted to think, well, nothing, that's not doing anything. And that's a lie, you see. That's what Satan wants you to believe. Keep pleading the promises of God. Pray. Pray persistently. The Lord is not angry with you for not being able to change your situation. But what he loves to see is the faith that clings to him and continues to ask for the things that God has promised, even though you delay a long time in seeing the answers. When Jesus, he gave that story in Luke 11, he gives the example of somebody who's knocks on the door, you know, comes at midnight, and he's asking, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I've got some people who've come. I've got a friend who comes, and I want to give him something. And the person who's in the house, he, don't trouble me. I'm in bed. And you can sort of sympathize with the example, can't you? I wonder, it's hard sometimes to get it as you read it in English, I wonder whether Jesus was telling it as a humorous story. It's sort of funny when you think about it. You're there in bed and somebody asking you for bread. I think, no, not at 1 o'clock in the morning. And what's Jesus' point in the story? Well, the point is that God, the Father, isn't like that. We're like that. We're slow. We're not particularly willing. We're not as generous as we should be. But God is an ocean of generosity and willingness. He's got a whole Bible full of promises, and he wants to see your faith in holding on to them. So I probably what will happen this evening is that you will go on into the next week and your life will look pretty much the same. And what God asks you to do is to remember Elijah. Go 7 times. There was a time when the Lord Jesus was hanging on the cross. And he cried out to the Lord, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, my God. He didn't ever drift into unbelief. Even in his most extreme sufferings, he never stopped trusting. But God didn't take it away straight away. There was a valley, the valley of the shadow of death, and Jesus had to walk all the way through it and out the other side. And in some way in your life, that valley will be there. And the Lord won't take you out of it straight away, but you must walk through it, go through the beginning, the middle, and the other end, and out the other side. Pray persistently. I want to close with this to encourage you. Jesus taught us to ask, seek, and knock. This is what one commentator on this passage or on the life of Elijah said. He said, how thankful I am that my godly grandparents never stopped praying for a wayward grandson. They prayed earnestly and expectantly, and their prayer was effective. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the life of Elijah. We thank you for our Lord Jesus who makes intercession for us. We pray, Father, that you would not let the devil snatch your word, but make us those who pray with humility, who pray your promises, and who pray with persistence. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service. We're going to sing a short, good hymn, number 632. How good is the God we adore? Let's sing together. Let's stand.
Thank you.
'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, whose spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Amen.